He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
Here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. On again here at 3 o'clock, right here live from Fashion Furniture. Excited to be here on a Thursday. Last show of the week, so we got a lot to talk about. Jam-packed show here for the next 2 hours before we send it to Cincinnati. I believe it's Cincinnati. That's where the Thursday night football will be held tonight. Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati Bengals and Steelers. We'll have that at 5 o'clock for you coming up tonight, right after my show here from 3 to 5 p.m. Of course, over on the other channel, 790, baseball right about to get going here. I think it's about to have our first pitch from L.A., the Dodgers and the Brewers will get started here in a matter of moments. We'll have a doubleheader of baseball for you. It's Dodgers-Brewers to start, and then we will have the Mariners and the Blue Jays over on 790. So baseball doubleheader. Can't wait to be bringing you all the updates from Los Angeles throughout this show tonight. Should be a good one. We're live here at Fashion Furniture, like I said. And, man, it is a good time to be at Fashion Furniture. Let me tell you, big, exciting stuff here. 65th anniversary celebration of Fashion Furniture is happening tomorrow. That's right, 5 p.m. tomorrow. Mayor Jerry Dyer will be cutting a ribbon. The Fresno Chamber of Commerce will be serving appetizers, and the Fresno State Pep Band is going to be entertaining the crowd while they're going to be giving away $50,000 worth of free furniture in a raffle here at Fashion tomorrow for their 65th anniversary celebration. So they're all going to be singing the fight song. You're invited to enter. No cost besides. They're going to need help eating a 65-foot anniversary cake. That's right. There's going to be a cake here, 65 feet long. So be sure to stop by 5 p.m. tomorrow. That's right, 5 p.m. tomorrow here at Fashion Furniture. Nothing like it in all of California. Like I said, gracious for Fashion Furniture hosting us as we always do on these Thursdays here. Big thank you to Me and Ed's Pizza for getting us our pizza for today. Of course, Me and Ed's always supplying the pizza on these Thursdays. Come by, stop by, enjoy a slice while you listen to some sports talk. We are live. Like I said, big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3, as always, on the weekdays, talking all thing Fresno State Bulldogs. On top of it, though, you can listen to his show, my show, and Paul Metter's show live and on demand on the 1430 ESPN app and on 1430ESPNFresno.com website, where you can catch all of our programming. Good show, like I said, today. If you want to get involved in it, of course, you can get involved with the Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing Lee's Air Hotline. That's right, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show, 559-320-1430, the way to get a hold of us and be on the show. Taking a look at our weather conditions, also sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. 66 degrees here in Fresno, 67 the high as of the next hour or so. Hitting the low hitting the high 40s in the evening hours at certain points. We also had some fog, potential fog tomorrow as well. Got a dense fog advisory on my phone here, expected by 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. So be careful out there when you're driving around. But just otherwise, perfect weather for a good high school football weekend here in the Central Valley. Can't wait to have it. Of course, we've got games tonight. We got games tomorrow. All of it throughout the weekend here in the Central Valley. So what are we going to be talking about? Well, we've got some great guests that are going to be joining us here in a matter of minutes. We'll be bringing on our Student Athlete of the Week this week, Vernon Lacey, who will be joined by Head Coach Andrew Pincotti from McLean Football. They'll be here in about 10 minutes or so. And then at about 4:15, we will have Eric Solberg coming on, coach of Fresno City Men's Soccer, also assistant coach at Fresno City Men's
World Baseball as well, and a longtime staple. He is retiring after this year from Fresno City, so always a great time to talk to Eric Solberg about his career. Can't wait to be graced with his presence in the 4 o'clock hour. Other than that, we'll be going over some of the high school football for today. We'll talk about some baseball. Like I said, the Dodgers getting going right away. Some Fresno State chatter, some NFL chatter as well. Just to fill out these 2 hours before we say goodbye for the weekend. That's right. No Behind the Bench tomorrow because the Blue Jays beat the Mariners. No Behind the Bench tomorrow. The baseball game starts at 2:30 on 1430. We'll have a little bit of Tony D's show from 2 to 2:30 tomorrow. But other than that, no Behind the Bench. So we will be jam-packed all of our conversation into these next 2 hours. So let's get started. Of course, on the other line, with me here in studio, over at our studios, is our producer for today, Jorge. Just checking in. Jorge, how are you doing on this Thursday afternoon? How are we doing?
Hey there, Phil. I'm doing good. It's nice weather today. Nice and
great weather.
A little cold, but not too bad.
I'm embracing the cold. I walked with the shorts and T-shirts. I walked the dogs this morning with the shorts and T-shirts.
You would do that, huh?
I embraced it, man. I'm fully, you know, I've been blue-pilled by North Dakota for living there for like 4 years. this is nothing to me. This is summer to me in terms of it. But I, how about that fog this morning, man? Hopefully everybody got safely wherever they had. It was rolling in. I don't know if it was rolling in everywhere in Fresno, at least where I live, which is kind of right near the station right now. Fog was intense.
Yeah, the Tule fog, classic for the Valley here, and especially after a rain. So, I knew it was happening. I just, you know, got up a little bit right when it was lifting off, but I still saw it.
I forget how crazy the fog can get here sometimes in terms of it. So, certainly getting used to that. Hopefully nobody's going to be dealing with fog tonight, though, when they go to these football games tonight, tomorrow, and over the weekend. Let's go over the slate here for you, talking about the high school football slate tonight. Of course, big games on the docket for a lot of people tonight. Let's go through some notables, and we'll start out at Clovis West. Clovis West and Central East getting to play each other, both 6-1, both massive implications when it comes to track play. Both teams undefeated into track play as of now going into this football game. It's going to be played at Veterans Memorial tonight. Central East, of course, showing their teeth last week when they put 50 on the board to in the first half against Clovis East. So we'll see what Central East can continue with the momentum there in this one. Clovis West, of course, certainly looking to pull off the upset. We'll see what they have in terms of firepower tonight, but I'd imagine Central East is going to find ways as they do, but you play the games. That's what you got to do. You play the games, and it's tough on a short week. Central East always, though, seems to be playing those Thursday nights at Clovis schools. I know Coach Biggs talked about it last month on his on Paul Metter's show. How much he loves the Thursday games. I say that with tongue in cheek. Also tonight, you've got McLean, who we're going to be talking about today. We'll preview their game as they take on Sanger West. Of course, talk about their season overall. So I won't take too much time on that one. We'll cover that when we talk to our student athlete of the week. How about Liberty? 1-6 Liberty. 1-6 Liberty out of Bakersfield taking on 1-6 Centennial. Liberty needs to get going if they want to make the playoffs here. We have, I believe, 3 games left on this schedule for Liberty. They need to win 2 of 3 to be eligible for the postseason. And I don't know if we have really talked about that in some form or fashion. You got to imagine they could beat the Centennial team tonight. We'll see. They also have Garces Memorial and Stockdale left. So I'd have to imagine Liberty still can get into the postseason. But like I said, after a loss to Frontier, they're running out of time. They're running out of time. But just a shocking record to see when it comes to that Patriots program and what we've seen. Wasco 6-1 there playing tonight at hosting Taft. 2-5 Taft at Wasco tonight as well. Exeter at Hanford West. The other one south at Miramonte. And those are your 6 games for the Central section. Real quick, let's run through some ranked matchups on Friday as well. Because I don't get the opportunity to talk about the games tomorrow, so let's do a little run through today.
course, we got our game tomorrow, which is going to be a 7 p.m. pregame, 7:30 kickoff between Kerman and Kingsburg. Both teams certainly battling for it in their league play. Kerman 2-0 right now in the Tri-County. Kingsburg 1-1. CVC tied in that second spot as well as 1-1 with Union Reedley in there as well. Really highly competitive league, I feel like, this year between all of those five teams. So very curious to see how this one will turn out. Kingsburg, of course, losing a tough one to CVC last week. So if Kerman has hopes of winning that league, they will certainly need to go into the Vikings' den and make it happen. But should be an interesting game tomorrow on our docket. Other ones around the league, Clovis and Clovis East go at it. Clovis East, of course, team that can frustrate teams defensively. I've seen some things, though, from Clovis' side the last couple of weeks that have really been eye-popping in terms of the big play ability. We'll see if the Cougars can answer the call again and soon see what future Bulldog now, Deegan Rose, will have to say in this one. Hard to believe we're saying that now, but can't believe Deegan Rose is going to be committed to the Fresno State Bulldogs moving forward. Buchanan at Clovis North is tomorrow night as well. Clovis North had a couple of slip-ups now and are starting to fade, I would say, a little bit in this track play. Buchanan looking to bounce back after losing to Clovis last week. So a couple teams looking for a win, looking for a battle in the track, trying to stay out of, I would say, maybe the bottom half of the track in that one. Checking in on some other games. Redwoods at Golden West tomorrow. That is a fascinating game. Golden West, the way they play and score points after they lost last week to Porterville. So Golden West suffering their first loss, 6-1, taking on Redwood, who we know how dangerous Redwood is. Of course, their defense playing very well when we saw them play against Hanford, and we'll see how they match up against these two teams. Could imagine a lot of points in this one potentially with Golden West and Redwood. Good rivalry there. Bullards at Garza. I would say this almost feels like if Garza losing to Sanger, that's a tough one to swallow, but if they want to at least have a chance at a share, they need to beat Bullard tomorrow night in terms of getting that one. And Bullard playing a lot better. Bullard playing a lot better as of late, so we'll see what that one will yield in terms of that. Bakersfield and Bakersfield Christian, I look forward to this one. Bakersfield Christian, one of the few teams left undefeated like we've been talking about. Bakersfield High, a very tough physical team that we saw play against Bullard earlier this year. Pat Hill talked, maybe said he saw this was like the toughest hitting team he's seen so far. In this central section. So that's a high compliment to what Bakersfield is. They just got to get to avoid the penalties and avoid the mistakes sometimes when it comes to that. But looking forward to seeing the results out of Bakersfield and Bakersfield Christian tomorrow night in terms of that one. Frontiers at Garces. Garces 6-1. Frontier 3-4. And that'll be an interesting one also down in Bakersfield as well. Tulare Union coming off of their loss, taking on Mission Oak. Tulare Union has to bounce back after losing to Hanford last week. A team that I still think has a lot of capability of being a top team, especially potentially in the D2, maybe Division 1A side of things if they really jump up to the level. Tulare Western, Hanford going at it tomorrow as well. Hanford, kind of a cold, hot and cold team, but like I said, when they're on, and when they play well, you really don't want to miss them, in terms of watching the Bullpups play. So we'll see if they're on tomorrow against Tulare Western. Edison's at Sanger. I don't have much to say on Edison's front. 0-7 season so far for the Tigers, just not where it is for them normally. Sanger, I think they're coming. I think they are figuring out what they have been wanting to do on the football field, and they were fun to watch last week in terms of that. Shafters at Kennedy as well. Central Valley Christian at Emmanuel tomorrow as well. Emmanuel 7-0. Emmanuel Eagles at 7-0. Hard to believe they are a team that's going to be tough to beat as well with what they have Central Valley Christian. This is a non-league game, rare non-league game outside of the early part of the season here in October. So we'll see what these two teams do and stack up. And then finally, El Diamante's at Porterville tomorrow. I would imagine that would be close as well. So there's some of your notables for Friday and all of the high school slate. But I don't want to waste any more time. I know we got a game for our guests to get to, so I want to make sure they get out of here in a proper amount of time. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have our Student Athlete of the Week, talk McLean football, Vernon Lacey and Andrew Pincotti joining us next on the show here on 1430 ESPN. Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
Remember when we all got drunk? I ended up with two broke thumbs. Oh my God, I felt so dumb. Lucky me.
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this wonderful Thursday afternoon, joined by a couple of our guests who are now we're streaming live on the YouTube, ESPN Fresno YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Be sure to tune on over there. We got our Student Athlete of the Week this week, Vernon Lacey, and Head Coach Andrew Pincotti of McLean Football. Guys, pleased to have you on the show. Glad to have you guys, especially on a game day. I appreciate you guys in the busy schedule, especially with a game coming up in a matter of hours. But glad you guys came up here. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Game day is a big deal because at 4 o'clock or really 3:15, we start our pregame. And I'm missing that for the show, which is fine. But it's the first time in 4 years that I'm actually missing a pregame ever. But you know what? I got great assistant coaches that are running the show right now. So, of course.
Good to trust the assistants and good to trust the kids that they're going to get done with what they get done. And, Vernon, I appreciate you for being on the show. Of course, a big honor. Student Athlete of the Week for ESPN Fresno. Of course, now 2 years in a row for McLean quarterbacks to get on that honor. But, Vernon, congratulations. What does it mean to be ESPN Student Athlete of the Week for your performance last week?
It means a lot, you know, just be able to go out there and play, you know, and just seeing what you can get from doing what you got to do.
Absolutely. Of course, your performance last week against Roosevelt, I think I got the tally, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. It seems to be typical for what his stat line looks like, Coach. And obviously, you boasted well about him, getting him nominated and great selection. First of all, great student as well. We've seen the grades there as well. And, Coach, overall, I'm sure you're happy that he got named this week.
Yeah, I think he had a special game. The team had a special game, right? Winning 42-0 is really special. He played a great game. I think his stat line was 12-13.
Yeah.
And then 5 total touchdowns. And, it makes it a little bit easier when you got athletes on the perimeter who can go up and get open and catch the ball. And the linemen were protecting. Running back was catching passes. Everybody was catching it and scoring it. So it was very special to be a part of.
Absolutely, and I would imagine it's with so many options, Vernon. It's got to feel great to know you got so many guys to trust, like a Demetrius Simon and a Juju Scott and a Demarie Banks and all those guys who are out there. Does it make your life easy to have these guys out there for you?
I mean, yeah, because they're just guys out there that you can get the ball to. It doesn't matter where they at. You know, if they open, you know, you get it to them and go for, you know, another touchdown. They're just guys pretty much.
Yeah, and developing the chemistry, right? Because you told me before you came from Memorial, so I don't know how much experience you had getting with those guys and getting working with them to know that you have the chemistry to feel that comfort level with them. But how quickly did you work on that with those guys? How quickly did it come together for y'all?
Just all through the summer, 7-on-7s, you know, just getting up early mornings. After school practices, even like Mondays when we just have the film or stuff, we go throw the ball just to, you know, keep the connection going, just to make it better. And I feel like playing with them, I've been playing with Juju for a little while for Tone Setters. I've been playing with Kamani Harris, Jaren Scott. I've been playing with those guys. Demetrius, I've been playing with those guys for like seventh grade. So it's always been there.
So it's always good to have that background. And, Coach, I'm sure you knew that when –
when these guys got connected, right? And you mentioned the 7-on-7 stuff and really having that helpful building into the obviously 11-on-11 part of the season now where you guys are in. But tell me a little bit about watching the chemistry from the sideline and watching these guys, even when they were working in the summer, how much they were grinding out there.
Yeah, I mean, these guys start – we don't stop really. So we were going in May, you know, mm-hmm. April, right? And we do 7-on-7s with Bullard and Madera on Tuesday, Thursday night. So whoever really wants to play and get reps in, that's great for our defense and great for our chemistry with our quarterback, receivers, and you know, DBs and so on. But these guys have been working, and this is the most consistent team at McClendon since I've been there, showing up to practice on time, ready to work, bought in. And all these guys show up every day.
Yeah.
And that gives us a chance to get better and better and better and better, and it shows.
Vernon, where does the consistency come from? Because that's on the players, right, to keep it consistent. If coach is saying consistent, how do you guys keep it consistent within each other with the craziness high school always provides, you know?
For me, I feel like we just, like, since we all have a good bond, you know, and we all want to be winners, you know, we just kind of hold each other accountable, you know. Every time we, like, make a mistake or we're late or whatever's going on, you know, we hold each other accountable and no back and forth about it. We just, like, I don't know, we just got a good bond.
Yeah, the accountability part of it, and you know, I wonder where that stems from. Who knows when to step up and say something? Who knows when to come in and tell guys, hey, we got to do something better here. We got to do. How do you guys know that, or is it just a feel? Is it just a feel with the group?
It's a little bit of both. You know, it's just a feel. Like when we feel like we don't have a good week of practice, you know, we gotta come better the next day, or say if we got something going on with each other. I mean, we gotta figure out just a way to handle it. And I feel like just from us knowing each other for so long and just being around each other a lot, that really helps. Just I know, like, Hume Lake helped a lot because it opened up to everybody. Yeah. And
absolutely. I saw that on socials. I think yeah. Coach was posting about yeah. that over the weekend, over that time. But I want to go back, Coach, you know, because when you watch these guys interact with each other, I mean, I know you got to be coach and you got to implement game plan, you got to implement culture and all that stuff. But when you see these guys doing this themselves and keeping themselves accountable, I mean, does that make your life easy? Does that make you try to find things to keep working on? I mean, what does it make your life?
You know, when I first got to McClane, this energy, this accountability, this teamwork, being a multiplier, being a winner was not there. It was different. It was hard. I had to be the one to install it. But we talk a lot about good teams are led by coaches. Great teams are led by players. Mm-hmm. And these guys are determined to be great this year and leave a legacy. So I got guys like Demetrius Simons and Junior Ray Goza and Juju Scott who are stepping up and leading and being a captain. And leading by example.
Yeah.
And so, absolutely, I don't have to say it. Those guys are saying it, you know, and so it's great. And it's trickling down all the way down to our freshmen. Our freshmen are currently undefeated and doing a great job. Those guys are bought in since June 14th. It's the first day we can get them. They showed up every day. And they just watch these guys do it, and they just copy them. And so it's great. It's a really good feeling.
Yeah, and just speaking to the history, right? And I think we were more following it with the storyline of it being just a big time season that McClane was having historically last year with what you guys were accomplishing for the first time in like so many years, right? This team was getting to heights where it is, and now I'm curious. As you as a coach, I think maybe you're glad you don't have to think about that again, like the first time since that last year. You got all that out of the way. Now you guys can kind of just keep it rolling. Does that weight take it off this season a little bit, knowing so many of those accolades were last year versus this year?
Yeah, you know, I just think, though, every day we compete to get better.
Yeah.
Right? And we want to be the best version of ourselves. We talk about maximizing our potential. Right, we don't want to be just eighth grade Vernon or freshman Vernon or sophomore. We want to continue to get better every day, 1%, 1%, 1%.
Yeah.
Whether that's as a person, a student, or an athlete.
Vernon, one of the things that stood out to me, I think it's clear and obvious, is I think you're as efficient as anybody in California when it comes to throwing the football. How about 30 TDs, no INT so far? I hope I don't jinx it tonight. Yeah. But knock on wood, right? But anyways, efficiency in that at department, you know, to not – I'm sure you know there's in-game play, you're like, I wish I had a throw here and there, and I'm sure you think about it that way. But to go 30-0 right now in terms of touchdowns, interception, what does it tell you about your focus each time you're in a game like this?
Honestly, I feel like it tells me a lot, like how much I can handle. Like, I didn't think I could be in that position like that. Just as you said, like, we're coming off a very good year. You know, I'm sophomore. I'm younger than, you know, Noah Zamora. So it's like a lot of people say, like, I got big shoes to fill or, you know, like, he was a guy last year. You know, I'm saying, like, I'm a guy too, you know. So when I go out there, I just, you know, I give 100% every time.
Did you pay attention to what Noah was doing last? Like, how much did you hear about it? About, wow, Noah Zamora, man, that guy was one of the best we've seen. You know, how much did you hear about that a lot?
I didn't hear too much about it.
Okay.
I didn't hear too much about it. I mean, I heard, but not a lot.
Yeah, I gotcha. Coach, back to the efficiency part, the 30-0, right? And you know, just, you know, at some point, quarterbacks, you know, sometimes there's a play that speeds them up or anything like that, and there's a tip ball here or there. Sometimes some of those things have to happen, right? But for him to be that efficient and to with no interceptions seems to tell me no, you know, comment or pressure in situations like this. What does it what does it tell you when you see that he protects the ball as well as anybody?
Well, I think first and foremost, it starts with the offensive lineman, giving him a little bit of time and protecting him. And then when you have athletes on the perimeter like a Juju Scott, who can go up for a 50-50 ball and take it out of another guy's hands and catch it for a touchdown, really helps the quarterback stats.
Yeah.
Right? Or Demetrius Simons, who can go up and grab balls and catch those type of balls. So I think that as a program and as an offense, man, these guys are firing on all cylinders. And I think if Vernon continues to make good decisions when he feels troubled, if he has D lineman in his face, tuck it and run it. I said, hey, just get 3 yards. Or even take the sack.
Mm-hmm.
We can throw the ball so far. We can run the ball, our offense. We didn't punt one time last week.
Yeah.
We can take a sack. That's okay. Don't throw the interception. So minimizing the mistakes is crucial in this situation. And it's okay to get sacked, right?
Yeah.
Take care of the ball. Go down. Take care of yourself. I don't want you to take a big hit, get tackled or wrong or whatever. Just get down and just line back up for another play.
When did you first find out about Vernon?
I've known Vernon since he was a seventh grader at SCAN. He was at our feeder school.
Okay.
So I go visit our feeder schools. So I go watch this Saturday, SCAN and Gaston are in the junior high championship at Sunnyside. I'm going to be there. So I go and support our youth and make sure I show face. I met Vernon there as a young man, and I'm really proud of him. He's matured a lot since when I first met him.
And when you first met Coach Fancati, you know, like when you two were talking shop and everything like that, you know, what were your memories like as a young seventh grader when you're obviously having the dream of getting to the next level and all that stuff? You know, what was that interaction like for you?
Honestly, it was like when you first seen, like, you know, when I was little in the seventh grade years, just like when you see like a high school coach, you know, you get like excited. Like, I was excited to see him, and then I was like, well, they on the rise, man. Like, I can't wait to go there.
Yeah.
Can't wait to be a part of it. Just when I started speaking to Pincotti, it was just more like winner mentality. Like, it really kind of opened my eyes. Like, if you really want to go big, go to the next level, you have to have that type of mentality where you like doing stuff that you don't want to, but you got to do it, man. You got to do it. And
when you're in, you mentioned the excitement of like, man, I, you know, on the rise, this is a program I'm paying attention to, and now you're in it. Did it? How has it matched the expectations, or how has it exceeded it for you since you dreamed about it maybe back when you were in your seventh grade year?
I would say like it was like more as a dream. Like, I knew like I'm gonna go out there and do this one day. Like, I'm gonna go out there and be one of those guys, you know. And that's just what it was. I'm gonna do it for sure. That's what I was just thinking.
Tell me about getting into that quarterback position, you know, for you. Like, was it always quarterback for you? Like, I know coaches just kind of put kids around and hope something sticks in terms of it. And so tell me about your journey to getting into, you know, being a quarterback and developing as a quarterback. How early did it start? Or were you always like, I'm going to be a quarterback, I don't care what anybody says?
It started like Pee Wee Roosevelt. I actually started at Roosevelt.
Okay.
I was like 6 years old, and then first I started as a running back, and, you know, I didn't like it at all, not one bit.
What'd you not like about it?
Running.
He can't run.
Yeah, I didn't like the running part, man. I did not like the running part, man.
He can throw, but the running part is difficult.
It's not difficult.
More challenging.
He can say more challenging.
Okay.
It's not difficult, you know. But, no, mainly it was just the running, and then like worried about like who gonna block for me, or like, you know, like what I can and can't see, you know what I mean? And so once I made the switch to quarterback, I just loved it. I just loved the feeling of holding my linemen, running back, everybody accountable and keeping everybody together.
Yeah.
And I just love like how like you was able to like, you know, control the game, make like you the pace of the game basically.
Well, that too, and the leadership, right? Did you feel like you were kind of a leader back when you were younger? Like, okay, I want to make sure these guys are doing the thing. You know, I'm the guy that's making sure everybody is accountable to it. Like you said, you mentioned it with how McLean is right now and all these players who are accountable. Have you felt like at a young age you're like, I feel naturally like I want to lead people in that sense?
Yeah, I get told that a lot. Like, I'm a natural leader just being in a classroom setting or anywhere. Just a lot of people, like, you know, feeds off my energy.
Yeah,
and I actually like experienced that. Like, my energy means a lot. I had like a bad week of practice. I wasn't really speaking, and I could see how my energy affect the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. And I was just like, well, if I'm going to play quarterback, then my energy got to be there. My leadership got to be there. I got to be consistent. I can't just slack off a few days and just, you know, be average, basically.
Yeah. And, Coach, that's the fascinating thing about quarterback position, right? It's not just about throwing the football and making the connections and all that stuff. It's all the little things around the position, how the guy is, demeanor is, how everything is around him, how he absorbs everything around what is going on in a game and everything like that. And speak to that aspect and what you've seen from Vernon.
Well, like I said, since I met him as a seventh grader and eighth grader, the guy can throw the ball a mile. Like, he's always had the potential arm strength. My biggest concern with him was his maturity level, and can he control the huddle? Could he take a big hit? What does he do when he does throw an interception?
Yeah.
What happens? What's his response to the adversity that he's
Don't try
seeing?
It tonight, though.
No, not tonight. but what does he do? What's his next move? Does he drop his head and pout and whine and complain? Does he blame somebody else? Or does he take responsibility and move on to the next play?
Right? Absolutely.
And so that to me is the next big question for Vernon. He does a great job of controlling the huddle. He does a great job of being consistent to practice and working hard. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
He did have a down week. But I'm glad he sees that, like, when you're a football coach or when you're the quarterback, you can't be turned off.
Yeah.
Like, when you get to – you got to turn on. Like, recently, when, you know, my wife and I had a kid, sleep has been hit or miss, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever, changing diapers.
Of course.
When I show up at 5:55 in the morning and I'm there, the switch is on. You got to be on and, you know, take a nap later, hopefully.
There you go. You know. There you go. Vernon, who do you look up to, whether it's in the NFL, whether it's college, whether it's right here in Fresno when you grew up watching? Who are like your quarterback idols, per se, that you like to pay attention to?
I honestly got a few for very good reasons, too.
Okay, I'm interested.
My first one's definitely Josh Allen.
Okay.
Just the way, you know, he goes out there, and his journey, though, mainly like his journey, how he started – and just how he goes out there and play, and just he takes everything to 100%, whether it's good, bad, mediocre. It might be his worst game, but he put his all. Like, you could tell his effort. And then I love Caleb Williams. I get on his balls when he was at USC, and his just placement on the run. I just love to see it, and just how he was able to create time. And then for my last one, it's like in the middle. But I like Patrick Mahomes, just his creativity, really. Just be able to, like, to make different throws, different type of ways, and just all the, you know, sidearm. He, like, kind of created a new era for quarterbacks. Yeah.
Innovator. Yeah. No, there's an interesting collection for sure. I like how Caleb doesn't give up. He certainly doesn't give up. He doesn't let a play end, especially when it doesn't go the right way it does. Improvisation is certainly what I think all three of those quarterbacks have their strong suit in. But good answers there. You guys got a game tonight, Thursday night, against Sanger West. Of course, prep for it. And you got three games left before playoffs. So I'll ask this, you know. What's the mentality in these final 3 weeks? Is we are now in the stretch run before you get to that really meaningful stuff in football. What does tonight bring, and what does the next few weeks provide for McLean in terms of what you guys are focused on?
I feel like one of our main focuses was really on defensive-wise to stop the run, and we did real good of that versus Roosevelt. and offensive wise, to be able to establish running the ball, really like a real run game.
Yeah.
I feel like today, I feel like we're preparing for, you know, their defense, what they run. They might come out in something different that we had lost to in the playoffs last year by a point. So I feel like once we establish the run, we're going to become like a more complete team.
Run opens up a lot for you.
Yeah.
Certainly helps you a lot. Coach, I want to ask on a bigger philosophical question before I start handing out the prizes to you here. Just on the sense of preparing this team for those gritty playoff games, which you guys clearly are on your way to. Let's be honest, you haven't faced high-stress football situations throughout the year. So I don't know how you recreate that in practice, how you try to get them ready for moments where they're going to need to dig deep and play in a stressful situation. How do you prepare them for that when obviously they're playing good football on the days they're playing football? But how do you maintain that in the program?
I think the number one thing you can do is competition. Like, we got to be competing in practice, right? And we're lucky right now where our starting D-line is just playing D-line during practice, and our starting O-line is just playing O-line.
Yeah.
The linebackers only start on defense, so that's good. We got the running back starts on offense. Now, our DBs and receivers go back and forth, so it kind of dictates whatever side they're on usually has the little edge when it comes to competing at practice. But it's competing and playing snap to whistle and coaching hard.
Absolutely.
Because you're right. Really, truthfully, our best competition has been in practice with our D-line that we faced. Because our D-line is vicious. They're good. They get off the ball, get sacks, and they have a great coach, Coach Henry, that's running them. So.
Yeah, yeah. We'll look forward to how tonight plays out for you guys. All right. I don't want to waste any more time. So we got a number of prizes here. I'm going to start with the bag over to my left. So, Vernon, we got a T-shirt for you. That's the start here. So something to wear, maybe in practice or for warm-ups there, Student Athlete of the Week. I got a large. I think that works for you.
Yes, sir.
In terms of that. What else do we got here? We got some tickets to next Saturday, Fresno State versus San Diego State. That's a massive one.
Appreciate
two
it.
Tickets. Two tickets.
Two tickets.
Oh, there we go. One for me, one for you. All right, is that what we're doing?
And, don't forget my mom's
over there. All right. You better give it to your mom.
They're still figuring out the game time of that. I think it's either 12:30 or 4. We got some free KFC here, courtesy of our friends over at KFC. So it looks like a two-piece tender meal for you there. So
do you want that?
Go there. Toledo's is giving you some family four-pack food here as well. This bag is yours as well.
Appreciate it.
From Thiessen Duker. All right. And, Danny, let's see if we can get this cooler up here. Vernon, I hope you like milk because we got Raw Farms, who is from Kerman area. Want to make sure we get that paper that fell out there. But this is your personal supply of some raw milk for you, so good for you to drink and get some protein shakes going or anything like that. It's good to mix with. So this is your own personal supply. That's your cooler as well.
Oh, appreciate it.
Yeah,
wow.
Absolutely.
There you go.
And, Coach, I was mentioning it to you earlier. There's a paper that landed somewhere. This is for you, Coach. You contact the number on the top there, the black card that's sitting there. You contact them. They're going to deliver a team drop of raw milk to the whole team for a practice.
Love
so you
it.
Just got to schedule that with them, and they're going to get the whole team set up with some raw milk products, chocolate milk, strawberry
so
milk,
much.
All that good stuff for you there. And finally, the pièce de résistance is
– oh, that's nice.
Look at this thing. I'm holding it out for you here. This is for you. Giant little check for you here. It says your name on it. I don't know. Maybe I'll let you look at it here. But it says Student Athlete of the Week. Got all our logos on here. Coach Pancotti's name, athletic director name. But this is for you to
Thank
take
you.
Home. And I don't know where you put it.
On the wall.
On the wall for sure.
For
so
sure.
We'll put it down. I'm being blocked by it, but it's fine. I don't want to hit you with it. But I want to make sure you take that home with you as well. So
appreciate
sure that'll
it.
Be getting in the car. Hopefully it'll fit. All right. So that's everything for you. Congratulations. And lastly, Coach Pancotti knows the drill. End of the year, we'll have a banquet for all of our student athletes of the year. We're still determining date and location again for that one, but we'll let you know. And we'll be excited to announce our student athlete of the year for male and female. Winner will get a $1,500 scholarship to college and an iPad if they're the winner. So you're automatically a nominee. Among all of our student athletes of the week. So congrats on that as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, Phil, thank you so much, man. For
appreciate it all, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For the community, for the kids, That's a great experience. Thank you again.
Absolutely. Good luck tonight against Stanger West. I know you got to get rolling, get warmed up for this one. So we'll look forward to it. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. We'll take a break. We'll be right back on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports league. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big appreciated thank you to Vernon Lacey and Andrew Pancotti for joining us in the previous segment. They got so much stuff they got to gather here on their way out. Good luck tonight in your game, Vernon. Should be fun. McLean going up against Sanger West tonight. The Hornets versus the Highlanders at McLean Stadium. So one of many good games on the docket for the folks here as well. So we are just a few minutes left in this first hour, and then we'll send it to hour number two. We get Daniel on the mic here. Daniel's sitting by us now, and he is joining us for the first time on the show. Daniel, how are we doing?
Doing pretty good. I mean, kind of my fault for forgetting the tripod, but
hey, we got it on the YouTubes. Everybody was able to watch, so yeah. No harm, no foul. Nobody needed to see me the first segment in terms
just,
of it.
Just had to make sure we got the interview.
Exactly. I hope the McLean crowd was happy to watch. Let's give it a little update baseball wise. 1-1 right now. I thought the Dodgers would be off and running in this ball game, but Mizorowski is right now. I think it was like an opener side of things for this as well. So, but it seems like the Brewers have bounced back. I'm not quite sure how they scored in terms of it. Let me I can scrub back on the broadcast real quick. Triple, maybe a sack fly.
Probably.
Is that where we're at? No, it's a triple and a base hit.
Oh, okay. Who's so, pitching for LA?
Glasnow. Tyler Glasnow. So, who do you think we were talking about it yesterday? We were talking about it yesterday in terms of the baseball side of things real quick, but who was in more trouble, the Brewers or the Blue Jays? I said the Brewers were in more trouble than the Blue Jays personally. I think I still feel that way, that the Blue Jays really absolutely showed out last night in terms of that. So that's tough for the Seattle fans who had George Kirby going up against it in terms of it. But are the Brewers dead? Is that my question to you? Are the Brewers dead or are they just in trouble?
I think they're just in trouble. I don't think they're dead. If they lose today, then I'd say they might be dead.
But, yeah, that's tough.
I think right now, I think their offense just hasn't been there as much as it probably should be, especially like what we saw with the Cubs series. So I'm hoping they step it up.
It is
an exciting series.
It is good. It is nice to see them respond after giving up a run in the bottom of the first, to respond with a run right away instead of it being just 1-0 for a while. I think that's a good sign that the Dodgers can't get a shutdown inning right then and there.
Yeah.
This is a key inning right now for the Brewers, who are currently a strike away from getting out of it, to then have their own shutdown inning. Yeah. People don't talk about how important shutdown innings are in terms of a baseball game.
They've been pretty important this series. I mean, look at the past two games. They've let both the Dodgers pitchers go 8 innings. So
yeah,
I think their biggest thing is having to get their starter out early.
I was saying this stat yesterday. The Dodgers starting pitching ERA, it's been the best since the 2012 Tigers through the first 8 games of a postseason. And then those 2012 Tigers faced Pablo Sandoval and the Giants, and Pablo went 3 homer game.
Yeah.
Game 1 on Verlander. Yeah. And since then, that series was long over real quick. This is a big big base hit, though, as Páez gets on base in an infield single, and so it's Shohei now to turn over the lineup, and you get like a 2-run homer pop for Shohei, who got a triple to start this game off. I think that's key pace of it in terms of it, and maybe this is a good opportunity for the Dodgers again. So this is high stress for Mizorowski right now.
Something I didn't know, I saw earlier, like I didn't know Anthony Bondo was a Rawhide.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think back in like 20, I think it's the 2015 or something like that. But there was quite a few players in that series that played in Visalia.
Well, Shohei just grounded out, so that ends the inning. So that's big. I think that's big for the Brewers. I think momentum arrow ticks to the Brewers right now in terms of it. How great was that interview?
It was pretty good.
That was fun.
Yeah.
McLean 7-0 to start their season. Good on them.
Vernon Lacy, 30-0 in terms of touchdown interception ratio. Pincotti was sending me some stuff earlier, Coach Pincotti, in terms of what were we talking about? Just him tied best pass rate rating in the state right now, Vernon Lacy.
Oh wow!
Currently
in the state?
In the state of California.
Oh, wow!
He's third in touchdown passes in the state of California.
That's good. He's putting us on the map.
Yeah. The other two. There's a kid in Burbank that has 34-5. That's his TD to interception ratio.
Oh, yeah.
There's a kid in Mission Bay that has 33-2 TD to interception ratio, and now Vernon's got 30-0.
Oh, wow. I think that's more impressive because he hasn't thrown a pick.
Yeah. High school, man. High school kids, it's tough. It's tough in terms of it.
This is like the first interview that we've been where I'm actually familiar with the coach.
Really?
Yeah, because of Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because so. he had Pincotti on earlier. Mm-hmm. Pincotti's great, man. I wonder how long he'd be at McLean for.
He looks pretty young.
Oh, yeah. I think he's got some people looking. Ooh. People looking for sure.
College?
We'll see. We'll see what offers in terms of that. Or maybe even just track. I'm not spreading rumors. I'm not doing it.
You didn't hear it from us.
You didn't hear anything. I literally know nothing. I'm just saying, man. Typically, you see guys who do this kind of job, he doesn't stick around very long, but yeah. maybe he loves it. Okay. 20 seconds till the end of the segment. What we got coming up next? We're going to talk a little Fresno State. Who are we rooting for? What are we rooting for on this bye week in terms of it? Bulldogs still in it for a Mountain West championship. They just got to get some help. Coach Solberg coming in as well. Stay with us. Hour number two of our show next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Hour number two of our show underway. Last hour of the show of the week. Yes, we won't have a show until next Monday in terms of that. Another update for you is the game is going into the bottom of the third. Dodgers Brewers tied at one right now. In terms of it, I do have a news update that broke while we were doing our interview and kind of wrapping up our first hour. Jorge, I want you ready at the mic here for this breaking news in terms of it. But Fresno State Athletics has announced that we are going to get a returned to Selland basketball game November 30th. Very excited to see that Fresno State men's basketball will be playing a game at Selland Arena this November 30th against CSU Bakersfield. It's a Sunday, and it's the first game back at the historic former home of the Fresno State Bulldogs since 2009. Of course, everyone knows who loves and keeps Fresno State basketball near and dear to their heart. It's 1966 to 2003 since the Bulldogs had played were playing at Selland. That's the time period of when the Bulldogs called Selland Arena their home. So I'm sure a lot of people feel great about this announcement. I'm sure a lot of people kind of wish it was a permanent announcement in terms of it, of keeping it at Selland. But we will get a blast from the past November 30th in their game against Selland Arena. It looks like they have tickets on sale. It's going to be designated as a neutral site event, so it's not a Fresno State home basketball game. So for those who are like saying, well, I got season tickets, apparently it will be not counted in your season ticket package, according to Fresno State. So the return to selling tickets, it looks like starting at $15, and they're going to go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. So I don't know how quickly that'll sell out. I'd imagine it'll go quick. But Jorge, that's a big announcement for Fresno State men's basketball to be returning to selling. I'm sure you're excited about that. Are you excited about the news for the return to selling game?
Yeah, I just saw it too. I saw it on the Instagram, and I thought, you know what, this is cool.
Yeah,
I think it's I don't know. It definitely brings back a lot of nostalgia from, you know, the Targ years and all those teams that
Grant's were, Tomb.
Yeah,
all that great.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be happy about it. I think they're going to have a press conference tomorrow, which I will change my schedule around tomorrow, and I'll make myself available to head on down. It looks like Garrett Classy, Coach Wahlberg, and Jerry Dyer are going to be speaking at a press conference tomorrow about this very exciting announcement. How quickly do you think this sells out? Do you think, first of all, I think this does sell out, but how quickly do you think when the tickets go on sale on Friday?
I don't know if it sells out quickly because we're, you know, here in the Valley, we'll take our time to do
things. Oh, we're last minute people. That's right. We get some people in Fresno.
It will definitely sell out. It will definitely sell out. It's just, you know, we might take our time to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Daniel, are you excited about a cylinder? I know you don't feel the history as much as other people do. Do you hear people longing about selling arena games and the idea of having a game at Celland Arena?
Yeah, I know my uncles also always talk about it because they're big on Fresno State basketball, but I'm going to try my best to make it out there.
Of course, of course. Would your uncles, I'm sure, would go out there for sure?
Oh, they'll probably buy tickets tomorrow.
They'll buy tickets tomorrow. All right. I know my mom talks about it all the time, about Celland Arena games and it being like the craziest thing you could get into. It's so impossible to get into a game sometimes. You want to hear the record? The Bulldogs' record at Celland Arena throughout their time. How about 390 wins, 135 losses at Celland Arena? How about that for a home record in terms of basketball? Why wouldn't you move back? Well, I know why, but we won't get into it in terms of it. So that's what we got for you.
So
exciting announcement.
For those that don't know Celland Arena, it is more, you know, cozy.
it's cozy.
There's more stairs. There's it's a little bit more outdated, but it's still one of it's still a workable, you know, great venue.
Oh, of course.
And I think for basketball, I think it was made for basketball, honestly, because you anywhere you sit, you get a great view.
Wasn't made for hockey, I'll tell you that. When I saw the Fresno Falcons used to play there, or the Monsters used to play there.
They had good times there. They had good times.
That's fair. That's fair. I just think it's a basketball crowd. From my experience, when I was calling games at Celland Arena last February, late February, early March, when we were doing the Central Section, I'm telling you that was the most exciting atmosphere I was around for a while. When you go into a game at Save Mart Center at Fresno, you're going into a cave. I feel like my eyes can't adjust to how dark it is in there, how dimly lit it is in there, how lack of colorful it is in there. And let's be frank, the basketball wasn't great to watch either in terms of it. So we are something fresh. Garrett Classy talked about it. I think he's been obviously alluding to it for quite some time. So we will look forward to what that'll look like. November 30th. So I'm even marking my own calendar. I want to make sure I'm available that Sunday for a game against Bakersfield. Was that I want to make sure I'm right on this. Was this originally a Bulldog home game?
Yes, it was a home game, but it wasn't, you know, a telling.
Okay. It was originally scheduled at Save Mart Center. So we do lose a home game. But, I mean, we have so – look, have you looked at the schedule for Fresno State?
I don't know about losing a home game because it's still a home game.
I know. I'm not all huffy about it. No, Fresno State's got a lot of home games anyway to start the year. They're like 7 home games on the docket to start the season. And then they're taking a lot of trip around the area.
I do believe they're going to have a FPU, you know, have a game against FPU.
That's right, FPU. 5:30, 7:30, I think, doubleheader, right? Men's and women's coming up on the 3rd. That's the home opener for Fresno State men's basketball and women's basketball. And are we confirming something yet? Or, Jorge, are we waiting on something?
We're going to wait just a little bit, but it's in the works.
Keep in mind that we are interested in those games as well for you there. All right.
Well, I was gonna talk about some stuff, but I feel like I don't have the lead up time to talk about it because I don't want to waste our next guest's time here coming up. So we got Eric Solberg who's going to be joining us here. It's a pleasure to get him on talking some sports. Of course, he's a man who has given a lot to this community, a lot to the Fresno City College community as well, Fresno State alum, and we're excited to talk to him. As he's retiring after this year. So it is a good opportunity to chat with him. So let's take an early break here. We're going to take an early break. We're going to spend plenty of time, clear out the lane, as we say in basketball, for Coach Eric Solberg next. And we'll talk to him then. So stay with us. Behind the Bench will return. Interview coming up next with Eric Solberg right after this on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Reminder, we're here at Fashion Furniture. I didn't do the read last segment, so I'm going to do it now. Fashion Furniture having a massive, massive celebration tomorrow. 65 years, that's right. 65 years of Fashion Furniture, which is they're doing a celebration tomorrow at 5 p.m. So if you got nothing to do tomorrow, 5 p.m., this is the place to be. Mayor Jerry Dyer is going to be here for a ribbon cutting. Chamber of Commerce will be here serving appetizers. You're going to have the pep band here and something to entice you. How about $50,000 worth of free furniture raffled away for a lucky person tomorrow if you show up? Also, yeah, they got a 65-foot cake to celebrate. 65. Wow. Gosh, I've got Eric Solberg here. Yeah. 65 feet worth of cake.
What I like about that is there's something older than me. So I've known the Avedikian family forever, the people that built the place and go way back with their family and my wife's family. So I've got plenty of fashion furniture stuff in my house.
Certainly. You cash in on how much you've shopped here, certainly. Eric Solberg here with us, the voice that you hear that is joining us now at the stage on this wonderful Thursday. Coach, I appreciate you taking some time. I know your schedule is a little whirlwindy with the weather and everything like that, but appreciate you coming on.
I'm excited to be here. We're actually practicing baseball right now, but a good excuse to get away from it for a minute. We're squatting a little bit, but I had soccer from 1 to 3, and then we go, baseball from 3 to 6 probably tonight. And
yeah.
So I'm stepping away for a moment, and they won't even miss me.
The double duty, that's the thing I think that's fascinating when I kind of read about what you do. And, of course, congratulations on the soon-to-be retirement. You announced it earlier this school year in terms of that. So
and the main reason why we announced that, and Tony and I, Coach Cavilla and I are both getting out, as people that have followed it have seen. The main reason was, if you don't announce early, because it's a faculty position, and even if it was a coaching position, but it is a faculty position, there's certain hurdles to jump through on the school. And if you don't announce early enough, it winds up getting posted in, March, May, or April, May. Like, I was hired in late May, mm-hmm. 27 years ago.
Yeah.
And that makes it extremely difficult to go get a team. And in this environment, really difficult because the junior college is more competitive than it was 27 years ago in terms of you have Clovis Community College, you have Madera Community College, you have Reedley College.
Yeah.
And so it's just a much more competitive environment. So if you hire – we're hoping the school, they said, I've seen the press release. It says they're looking for people immediately. And then I know it has to go through the channels of, posting and all that. But that was the whole idea, so we could get somebody in here. Because one of the things that I know Tony and I don't want to do, it's not that we won't help or somebody would call us, but, we don't want to recruit for the next season. I mean, that's probably the worst part of the job.
Yeah.
And you have to, people say, how do you recruit? You don't have scholarships. Well, if you don't make people wanted, feel wanted, you're not going to get that guy. Yeah. And so recruiting is, you know, for me, and it's baseball practice till 6 and then go watch a high school soccer game, get home at 9 o'clock at night. And it's just, it's wearing, you know. When I was hired at 35 years old, it was all great, you know, but at my age, I can still do it, but I'm ready to hand it off.
It's better to be ready instead of it being kind of, you know, on the other side where like, man, I am too dang old for this.
Yeah, and I've been feeling it the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my typical day is the good and great thing about coaching in community college. You don't have to teach very much, but we are faculty members. Yeah. That's the way that we're paid. You know, 85% of our salary is actually for 15% of our work in the teaching part.
Yeah.
It's kind of reversed, but it's just the way it's set up. And so it's just, you know, typical day is just teach an hour or so. So the teaching part is really easy. But then when you get to noon, it's on coaching. And so, and then the mental side of that, you know, when you're not playing well or you lose a game, you're taking that or at least I do, I'm taking that into the evening. And the pressure to win certainly doesn't come from a community situation. You know, we're not followed like Fresno State. But, you know, the pressure is still the same to win. You know, you want to win. And at Fresno City, we should be winning. You know, we're the big dog in the conference, and mm-hmm. we're supposed to win and hang with teams in the north and then give the South a shot. The South really dominates community college. I mean,
yeah.
Community college is athletics is really run by population.
Yeah.
And there's exceptions to that, but it's very difficult to win it all in the North.
I got a lot to kind of go to for you. If we want to just kind of follow the conversation in terms of it, you mentioned a lot there in terms of just, it's fascinating when somebody gets locked into this kind of area of athletics, right? Because I think you typically, a lot of people pay attention to the glamour of the college level and whatever the glamour is in terms of it, and think of the D1s and the D2s and the FCS and the FBS and all of that stuff. And I think the people in those levels are so thankful for the people that are at your level in terms of that. It's not just, you know, when it comes to the city portion of it. And I think people don't realize how truly developmental the city level is in terms of college athletics and where kids want to get to. I always argue and advocate it's a great step for any athlete to go to because, frankly, I think you get a much better opportunity to play. And when you play,
you get better,
right?
I think, you know, for me, I wouldn't trade anything I did because I went to Fresno State out mm-hmm. of Bullard High School, straight to Fresno State. And was, you know, on the baseball team immediately. And I wouldn't trade anything because if I would have traded anything, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today talking to you about Fresno City College. But I think if I could look back and do something different, I think a year at City and then going to Fresno State, playing for Coach Bennett, you know, probably would have helped me maybe develop a little faster just in terms of innings. But then there's the argument that, you know, when you're under Fresno State and Coach Bennett for that year, maybe I developed that way. But so I don't know. That's a catch-22.
Yeah.
I mean, and so now I'm selling that a little bit when you're talking to recruits, like, you know, which is the best way to do. But I do think playing does help. The thing I think people don't understand about community college is that a lot of people think it's kind of a glorified level of high school. Boy, I mean, it's absolutely not. I mean, if you came out and played our football team, you're talking about, you know, 250 to 280-pound linemen across the board. I mean, we would just smash high schools, not to take credit away from high schools. Soccer would be different because soccer's you can shut the game down differently. But, yeah, they're just different lever.
We
have 15 to 20, you know. This year we have more than normal, but we have at least 15 all-valley type players on our soccer team. Baseball is the same way. We have, you know, you just have it's the city county game times 10. I mean, it's just different. And then the coaching's just not necessarily – I mean, I want to say it's better, but, I mean, there's some great high school coaches that we get guys from in both sports, and certainly probably better than, you know, myself in some cases. But they're we just have more hands on them. You know, we're not and one thing we're not restricted, you know, from a sense of Division One. They have all these restrictions. Mm-hmm. We really don't have very many restrictions. We do have rules and all that, but not as much as that level.
I'm wondering just in the sense of, you know, when it comes to – is it always the pitch of like when it comes to kids and when you're pitching them the junior college route and anything like that, especially – I know maybe back in the day, like when you started, it's a lot different than obviously where it is now.
Way different.
But I think I wonder how much you've had to really transform your own process in terms of it. Have you had to, like, do you evaluate yourself as a recruiter each year?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I definitely do in the soccer side of it because I'm the head coach.
Yeah.
You know, and I baseball's a little bit different. You'd like to think your assistants, which are vital at this level, but our assistants are getting pennies on the hour to get, because they all have other jobs.
And yeah.
So as a head coach, it doesn't matter what you're coaching at this level. All the recruiting and all the player stuff, it falls on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that gets tiring. I mean, if I was an assistant coach in soccer and assistant coach in baseball, I'd still just keep my job.
Yeah.
It's the head coaching that wears you out because it's just the nonstop recruiting. But, yeah, I mean, for sure in soccer, I'm evaluating and myself all the time. And the main thing is the good news is these players want to be text more than they want to be called.
Of course
they do. And we don't have a lots of face-to-face stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we obviously go to games. But, you know, we're not whining and dining players and offering them scholarships. So we do some of that. You do some of that. But mostly it's just texting and making people feel really wanted.
Yeah.
And then you have to have all the other things. You have to have, you know, the right gear. You know, you have to have very good social media.
Yeah.
And you just have to have a presence. And I think, you know, on the soccer side, for sure that's, you know, what we've done, and we've gotten good players. And then on the baseball side, you know, we've been doing it for a long time too.
On the total, like, when it comes to coaching, and I hear it all the time. I actually, one of the people I hear about it all the time in terms of just how much they didn't realize how much a head coach has to do outside of just coaching the game. In terms of, I hear from Tim Skipper when he talks about it as pressers, especially this past couple of weeks at UCLA, I've heard him mention that. But I got to imagine that's the sentiment a lot. It just like from scheduling, from logistics, from where is the team eating and where is the team staying. And
you know, one thing you'll find out from JC to JC, everything's a little bit different. I was talking to the Merced coach yesterday. We were down there playing a game in soccer. And it's interesting to see from school to school. But, yeah, at our level, and by the way, over the last 27 years, my responsibilities as head coach seem to have grown. We're literally doing transportation requests, meal requests. We funnel them off to our assistants. But we're actually the ones that are, you know, inputting the information. We're obviously recruiting. We're all the social media falls on us. I mean, I have an assistant that's certainly smarter electronically than I am, so he does that. But there isn't much aspect that doesn't fall on us. I mean, for instance, during the baseball season, you know, 4 hours before the game, you find me at Smart and File. I'm buying hot dogs, literally, for the snack bar. And people laugh at that, you know, and it's, you know, I'm a believer that you got to have food at a baseball game.
Of course you do.
So I just took that part of it over, you know, 20-some years ago because we weren't doing it. It was like, you got to have hot dogs and, you know, soda and all that. So I started doing that, and people think I've lost my mind, but it enhances the experience at the field. So
it enhances it for the athletes, and of course the athletes, when you get close to the product of where they hope to get to at some point, like, you know, playing an empty field with no hot dog, right? It's just, it doesn't feel like doesn't feel like you're achieving something.
The one thing you're going to have at community college, I mean, that you could interview every guy at community college. The one thing you're going to have, you bring in our athletic director, you could bring in anybody you want. The one thing you're going to get, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to Fresno City, it's every community college. You're understaffed.
Yeah.
And I'm not underpaid. I'm paid fine. But all your assistants are way underpaid because they're not working at the college other than just a stipend. And that's just the way it is. It's similar to high school in that way. And JC's that weird middle because we have some similarities to high school.
Yeah.
But we try and distance ourselves in some ways. But you're caught in the middle. And it's just an underfunded level of schooling the administration and the people in charge have to do a really good job. And, you know, one of our things at Fresno City, we have 23 sports. So while that's really good, it's also expensive.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. I don't see that part of it. I just see what I have. I have to raise quite a bit of money in order to basically win.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate to say it that way, but you know,
college is.
Yeah,
anyway,
you have to do at yeah. our level. You know, we're not flying to Hawaii for a game or anything, but you have to. You know, I'm wearing Nike, as you can see. You have to do the things right.
Yeah.
And you have to promote yourself right. You've got to take trips, you know, early in the season, do things, you know, the right way and enhance the atmosphere for the athlete.
I want to ask you, just curious, because you mentioned I want to know how it kind of started for you, because you're a baseball guy.
Yep.
Right? But then you get into soccer as well. When did it become the dual sport thing for you? What was the first coaching?
So that's my story, and you know, a lot of soccer people don't know it, and so I'll pat myself on the back for a brief moment in soccer.
There you go.
I was a good, very good high school soccer player, club yeah. player, till I was 18 years old. Was offered, was coached in the youth level by a man named Dr. Jose El Goriaga, who was the Fresno State coach.
Yeah.
Took those guys to the Final Four. They were national power. So I played for him. His son happened to be my age, so that's the era of dad's coaching, right? But we happened, Dr. El Goriaga was a soccer guy, so I was fortunate we got to do that. And so after we lost in the semifinal my senior year, we went up my junior year, just to throw that in at Bullard, but he offered me a scholarship as I walked off the field. We lost in the semifinals that year. And then I was being recruited by Fresno State and some other schools in soccer. I mean, in baseball, and a few other ones in soccer as well.
Yeah.
Fresno Pacific offered me a scholarship. Santa Clara offered me a scholarship, but I couldn't get in. And they were a national power.
Yeah.
So I was a good, you know, I don't want to sit here and say I was like.
You had the pedigree.
But I was good enough to keep playing in soccer.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to play soccer. So I went out to dinner with Coach Bennett and Coach Rupsage, and Bennett just said, I don't, if you're going to come here to play baseball, I don't think so. You know, I'm
yeah.
a soccer thing. El Goriaga said, play both.
Of course.
And I think I could have played both there
yeah.
And balanced that.
With fall and spring?
But it was just, you know, you're going to miss all fall in baseball.
Yeah.
Would have put me further behind. And, you know, at that point in my career, I thought, well, I'm going to play, I'm going to play probably in the big leagues, you know, when you're 18,
of course.
Think, right? So, and I was getting feelers from professional teams my senior year at Bullard. I didn't really want to sign. And so I don't know if I would have been drafted or not, but
yeah.
I put it out there. I wasn't going to sign. So I just thought there was an avenue to maybe play professional baseball.
Yeah.
So, and then I continued actually to referee a little bit for some side money and got kind of pretty heavily involved in refereeing. And so then I got out,
yeah.
got married, we're married, have kids, and I'm out of soccer. I mean, I follow it a little bit, but I'm really completely out of it.
Yeah.
So I'm the long version, which I'll try to shorten up. I was coaching with Coach Noakes at Bullard.
Yeah.
I'd been released from Kansas City Royals in the minor leagues, a little brief stint. And I was coaching with Coach Noakes. We win the Valley title, and we're at the old Silver Dollar. having a beer after the game, and this guy looks at me and says, hey, you want to coach? Or he asked me for my phone number, calls me the next day, you know, says, hey, I'm getting the Fresno City job. It was Ron Scott, and says, hey, you know, want to help me? So that, you know, that was 38 years ago. So 34 years with him. And somewhere in there, like year five or six, I decided to go back for my master's degree because I looked in the PE department. Everybody was my age now.
Yeah.
All early 60s, and thinking, I think I'd rather do this than what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just, I was coaching the city for fun. So I went back. And it was kind of like what you would call online now. It was called distance learning there. But I went to some small school in Alabama, get my master's, get myself in position. All the old guys retire, Music, Wait, all the
– yeah.
Some of the legendary guys from Fresno City, they all leave. And I'm assuming I'm getting hired as the assistant baseball coach. And one of the guys was formerly Fred Bartels, was an assistant baseball coach. So, and soccer was kind of a second thought at Fresno City.
Yeah.
We had a longtime coach there. Coach Neal did a good job there, but he was full-time math teacher. And it wasn't that he wasn't doing well. It was just a secondary sport there,
yeah.
Which soccer was thought of not as much now. And so Ron got this whole thing, and I'm being railroaded for the job, which you're not supposed to do. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
You're retiring.
But I was kind of, you know, I'm being railroaded for the job. But, you know, and so anyway, the president of school wound up being a friend of mine, Dr. Larios, told Ron, we're not just going to hire a baseball coach.
Yeah.
So Ron comes to me and says, well, you know, what can you coach? You know, my first thought was nothing. You know, nothing else, but I mean, to get in, I was going to have to coach something. So
yeah.
I said, well, you know, I guess I could do soccer.
He thought you know, back, though.
I mean, that's my only option, right? So I went and watched a few of their soccer practices, and I said, yeah, I know, I think I can do that. And so they actually opened the job. This would never happen today. They opened the job, literally, head soccer coach, assistant baseball coach. faculty member.
All in one listing.
All in one listing. And it really made a few people mad. And so I was really.
It's a real niche.
Yeah, it was a little, you know, and they could have hired a soccer guy, a baseball guy.
Yeah.
So I go through the interviews and, you know, eventually I got the job. And I spent a lot of my first years trying to convince people that I actually played soccer.
Right.
Because I was. No,
because everyone knew you as the baseball dude.
Yeah, I'm 8, you know, I'm 15, 17 years removed from being, you know, an all-valley center back at Bullard.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers me. Nobody.
You had to show them pictures? You're like, hey,
yeah,
this,
exactly.
This is me?
Literally, in some cases, yes, you know. And still, you're viewed as a high school player as opposed to a college player, which I was in athletics. I mean, in baseball.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how it all started. And then I got the job really late. In May, and I went to two club practices. I just said, hey, man, we're going to change everything. We're going to get gear and do all this. And I just lucked out.
Yeah.
I really lucked out. I got 10 guys from one club, basically. I had three returning players, 10 guys from another club. And then we broke the school record for wins my first year with 19.
And you're like, all right. No,
we lost in the NorCal final. I don't even know if I knew what I was doing. next year we went undefeated, lost in the state final with that same group back.
Yeah.
And I knew how to coach.
Yeah.
But I'm learning on the fly soccer. And I dove in. I contacted Jaime Ramirez at the time at FPU and Dave Chesler, who was Fresno State at the time. You know, I'm reading books. The game to me wasn't really different. It's more technical, less direct, as you would say, less ball, you know, balls being kicked.
Yeah.
But the game isn't way different, but the training is completely different.
Oh, I bet. The transition.
And so that's what I had to get a handle on. And you know, that took a while. I mean, we lost in the state finals in my third or fourth year, and I wouldn't lose that game today.
Yeah.
We were up 2-0 with 22 minutes left. and gave up three goals. And I don't think, I mean, I don't, I literally don't, they were all fluke goals that there's, you know, there's ways to kill the game and do different things that I know how to do that today and don't know, didn't know how to do that then. So, I mean, it was a great learning curve. Definitely super, super happy that I did the soccer thing.
Yeah.
Because I always figured I'll take over for Ron. But, you know, by the time Ron left, I was 59. And I didn't want to do that, you know. And even if I'd never been the soccer coach, I don't know if I would have wanted to do that at 59 years old. Yeah, baseball. Yeah. So it all turned out, obviously, not obviously, but we've won two state titles. The North has only won five in that 27-year span. We've won two of them.
Yeah.
We've won, I think, 20 conference titles. And I believe this. Not everybody's going to agree with this. I think soccer is the best sport in community college. It's just the culture of the state. And there's just
some good players that come out of that. Like, yeah, if you got a few, like the guys you think of that have come through your program, you know.
I just think soccer is better than other sports, just because there's just more players. I mean, our state is built for soccer, you know, and so obviously there's a big Hispanic heritage in soccer, and you know, we certainly are cultivating that at our place. And it's just a really good sport. But then you run into the big boys in Orange County, man. They're hard to beat. If it wasn't for Mount Sac and Cerritos, I'd probably have 10 state titles. they're the only people that really beat us at the end.
Yeah.
And we beat them, fortunately, so I can rest in peace. but, yeah, it's been a great thing to do. And I still love baseball. People ask me which one I like better. I actually like soccer practice, baseball games.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in more control in the baseball game. I call our pitches, kind of help with the defense. I mean, I help with a little bit of everything, at times, but soccer, man, the whistle blows and all hell breaks loose and you lose.
There's nothing much you can kind of,
you can, as you coach longer, you can learn how to manage the game.
It's all about preparation more in the soccer.
Yeah, so. I remember Ron, we lost this heartbreaking state final game, and Ron goes, man, no timeouts? You know, and I said, no, I can't call a timeout. I needed to call it. If I could have called a timeout, we would have won the game. You know, and that's one of the beauties of soccer.
Just tell a guy to go down. Hey, go down for a while.
But there are ways to, which I didn't know, there are ways to manage all those things.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, with subs and conveying things. And there's different things that I've learned from a lot of my peers that, just in general, that I carry into both sports.
For sure. There's, you know, when it comes to just the memories, right, and you're trying to avoid getting nostalgic, I would imagine, this season.
Yeah, I could be pretty sappy, so I'm trying not to be too much. But, yeah, I am. I mean, yesterday we're at Merced on a game, and, you know, one of my guys who was from Merced, we used to get guys from Merced, but Merced now has a soccer team, you know, so we had a great All-American player, Christian Alvarez. He comes out yesterday, you know, he's giving me hugs, and his, you know, son's there, and it's like, it's hard to imagine. I'm taking pictures with
generations,
his son.
Yeah,
and we in baseball, which has been 38 years. I'm in my 38th year. I'm coaching players' kids.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
It is crazy, and, you know, and in fact, one of them's on our team right now, and he asked me about his dad today about something.
You remember running,
you know, and his dad, I coached at Bullard, in my first year I ever coached.
Yeah. Wow. So,
but I've always had a competitive bug, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's definitely getting nostalgic. It's going to be tough down the stretch here. I got 9 games left. We're going to be beyond. We'll have more than that because of playoffs. But it's getting to the point of, like yesterday, we scored in the 92nd minute, 2 minutes of extra time. It was one of the greatest finishes in my 27 years of just how we finished to win this game. Merced's got a really good team this year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I felt like alive yesterday. I'm like, should I be getting out of this? But
gave
I'm
you
not.
That jolt. And then...
Yeah, yeah, and I hadn't had that jolt this year actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got that yesterday, and it carried me through. But I'm still gonna retire.
Do you imagine just you're gonna be hanging around still? I would bet. And
so yeah, the plan for me, of course, Fresno City can put a kibosh on this, but. You can't work for 6 months. That's a state teacher's retirement deal. So technically my last day is June 30th. Really your last day is kind of the middle of May when finals are over. But I'll be around helping a little bit over that next month. And I'm going to do all our scheduling and stuff for the next coach. And they're in great shape.
Just get the smoothest transition.
Yeah, man. We have four Nike uniforms. We got $150 soccer ball. I mean, the next guy's set up. So I'm going to – and I'll continue to help with that. And then – but the plan is to probably come back, substitute teach.
Coach Solberg, the fan?
Yeah. They have some game management stuff they do. I would like to do that. We'll see if they hire me back to do that, where you come and watch a game in case something happens. You're there. They would have to hire me back for that. But we're always short in that area, usually we're short in that area. And then the final thing is I'm going to coach baseball.
Yeah.
And then if I coach baseball in 2027, in the spring of 2027, and I'm not enjoying that, you know, that's all I'm doing and from a sport, then I'll know that I should be out.
Yeah.
But I think I've never done that, because even when I coached my first 11 years with Ron, I had a full-time other job.
Yeah.
So I was driving down the 99, you know, 70 miles an hour trying to get to baseball.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to maybe just doing that. And the only reason everybody goes, why are you choosing baseball or soccer? Is because I'm an assistant coach there. In soccer, whoever they hire, I can't ask that person to coach and stand behind him, you know, as the former 27-year. There's a chance they hire somebody that I know.
Yeah.
And certainly I would think I'll come out and say hi to the boys and and hang out at a practice. But I can't. I can't be out there. You know, the new guy has to move on.
Let the new guy be the new guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Be the actual guy. Well, Eric, so much time. I wish we had, but we got to wrap it up here in terms of it.
It was great being here.
Absolutely. Great sharing your story, obviously, and everybody knows it's going to be obviously celebratory down the end. And, Coach, we hope it maybe ends in a state title. We'll see.
Well, yesterday was a positive in the
positive,
right direction. We're a long, you know, it's really long
we'll
way
see.
From there. I do really like our baseball team.
Yeah,
so,
I like your baseball team, too.
Yeah, we were really good on the mound, so we'll see. If we're not good on the mound, I probably won't be back.
Guys in the hot
I won't
seat.
Be. I won't be back for 2027. You know, they'll get rid of me. So I appreciate being here.
Appreciate it, Eric Solberg, Fresno City men's soccer and baseball coach. Appreciate it, Coach, here joining
Thank
us
you.
On the program. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back and wrap up the show next on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We are wrapping up our show real quickly here, just a few more minutes before we send it out to, I believe it's Cincinnati. That's where Thursday Night Football is being held right now. Big thanks to Coach Eric Solberg for joining me in the last segment. Congrats to him, obviously, retiring from soccer, coaching soccer at Fresno City. He'll still be kicking around the baseball diamond a little bit longer, but just story career for sure. Story career. Funny how the game finds you, Jorge, right? Sometimes the game of soccer can find you in interesting places, interesting ways, and he's certainly one of the big luminaries in Fresno soccer, and so well-deserved retirement, I would imagine.
Yeah, he's definitely been a staple to that Fresno City for a long time, and not just soccer, but also baseball. You know, he's always been there. And those titles and the hard work that he's put in, has worked in titles and has made what Fresno City is today in soccer, you know, a powerhouse.
Absolutely. Powerhouse of soccer for sure. All right, Daily Spread brought to you by Chukchansey Gold Resort and Casino. You're not trying your luck with your teams, you try your luck at Chukchansey Gold Resort and Casino. Real quick, Thursday night football, Steelers and Bengals. Bengals 5.5-point underdog tonight at home against Pittsburgh. I'm picking Pittsburgh in the points in this one. Jorge, I think you decided you picked Pittsburgh yesterday too, right, in this one?
Yes. Yes, I went with Pittsburgh.
I just don't see where the firepower is with Cincinnati. Maybe we get a crazy Flacco game. We might get one, potentially. It is Thursday. It is on the road. Sometimes it's too good to be true when you have a team that clearly looks like it should win on the road on Thursday Night Football, and then things are different. So I would be warned. Remember, last Thursday it was Eagles-Giants, and the Eagles did not look like a capable football team there for sure. So look out. I would just say look out for the upset. I feel like Steelers on paper should win, but look out for the upset if we're going to go the other direction. We have no show tomorrow. We have Mariners and Blue Jays tomorrow. It's starting at 2:30 pregame. Tony's show will be just a portion of his show, 2 to 2:30. So Tony D's show will happen. We're going to have our Friday Night Lights broadcast 7 p.m. tomorrow, live from Kingsburg, 7:30 kickoff. Me and Paul Metters on the call there for that, so be sure to tune in for that. Of course, playoff baseball, if necessary, all around the weekend as well. Sharks hockey is somewhere around the weekend as well. Just check your listings there. Plenty of NFL football over the weekend. Central Valley Sports Report is Saturday as well. So great job on the show today, Jorge. Appreciate it. We're going to be back Monday.
Shark Saturday. Shark Saturday.
Shark Saturday. Shark Saturday. You're correct. So Monday, we'll see you then. Jorge, great job on the show. Great job by you.
Great job.
Great job. We'll see you on Monday for another edition of Behind the Bench. See you then.